السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and also those sisters listening over the receivers. It is the same ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited last week and discussed some aspects of the purpose of fasting in the month of Ramadan. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not in need of our food, is not in need of our giving up of our drink. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of us staying away from our wives from dawn to sunset. All these things don't benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the only one who has absolutely nothing to gain from anything that His creation does. Whatever His servants do, Allah Ta'ala has got absolutely nothing to gain from it. Human beings always have some kind of gain in mind. Even when they are doing ibadat, zikr, tilawat, fasting, giving zakat, going for hajj. But they do have some kind of expectation that there will be rewards. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reward them. He will give them sawab in return, or He will give them His pleasure in return. There is something that the person has in mind. All of us who do ibadat, then we have some kind of hope from Allah Ta'ala that He will give us His pleasure, He will give us Jannah, He will save us from the fire of Jahannam. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got absolutely nothing to gain from anything that any human being does. So whatever He orders, there is nothing in it but goodness for the person who is making the amal. Allah Ta'ala's orders are for the benefit of man himself. So we must not think that we are doing Him a very great favor that in the month of Ramadan we have given up our food and drink. And see how obedient we are to Allah Ta'ala. In the first place, that tawfiq of fasting has been given by Him. There are so many people, they are fit, they are healthy. There is nothing that is restricting them. But yet they are unable to fast. Because of the dominance in their lives, or because they have been overpowered by nafs and shaitan. So as a result, they do not fast. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one again who gives us that tawfiq to fast. Especially in those countries where they have to fast for 17, 18 hours, what is it that makes them observe that fast? I mentioned, I think last year also, that niyat is such a powerful weapon, or it is such a powerful chain, that it ties the person till sunset. All we do is we make a niyat, Ya Allah, today I'm going to keep a fast for You. For Your pleasure I'm going to fast. Now that's all. That niyat that he made, what a powerful chain that is. That now he's staying away from food, from drink, no matter how hot the day, but he's not drinking anything, even in the privacy of his room or home, where nobody is watching. So this tawfiq is also from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we should be in fact grateful to Allah Ta'ala for having given us the tawfiq. Majal hai kuch bhi kar sakun main, jo tu na tawfiq ay khuda de. Teri mashiyat hai sab pe ghalib, ye hai che hain sab mere irade. Where can I really fast? Where can I stay away from the temptations of eating and drinking? It is only You, O Allah, who is giving me the tawfiq to stay away. So I am grateful to You. So I mentioned a few things about Ramadan and what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala expects of us in Ramadan. We discussed something last week. Now we go on a little further that this point of taqwa. Now you will keep listening to taqwa. In the month of Ramadan, speakers upon speakers will talk about taqwa. So much so that even in haram places there will be talk about taqwa. We have seen with our own eyes. I was in England in the 1980s and I was told that there is a program of tafsir in one of the masjids, and I was quite interested, so the host took me along, we went there. Now there I was told that the program is going to take place after the salat, and it's in the basement of the masjid where there was a hall, a very popular masjid in London. So we went down the stairs and we went into the hall. Now when we went into the hall, we find that the Quran Sharifs are open. Young boys, young girls, men, women, some of the women dressed scantily, but they all have come and they have opened the Quran Sharif, and now the person is going to make tafsir of the Quran Sharif. So that was sufficient for me. I said, Jazakallah, and I walked out. But what I am getting at is this, that the person is talking about the ayats of taqwa, or he will recite the Quran Sharif and make tafsir of it, and yet the whole environment there is nothing but that which brings the lanat and curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But yet this person thinks that I am doing a great duty towards Islam. See, we are having tafsir and we are having hadith and we are having all kinds of education and knowledge being imparted. But in the meantime, the environment in which it is being imparted is nothing but an environment of sin and vice. Now how can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat come there? So the word taqwa also has lost its effect, what it used to have on the hearts of the people who used to listen to it in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and thereafter. If you have to read the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were even given glad tidings of Jannat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam told them that you are Jannati. He gave them the glad tiding. But look at their lives, how much of fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how much of khawf and khashiyat they had, that they did not want to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's not that they had no yaqeen on that guarantee that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given to them because of the information that Allah ta'ala had given to him. It's not that they did not believe in that, but they also believed that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is independent. He is not in need of a human being's ibadat or zikr or tilawat. And if this person, because of that promise that has now been made, he becomes disobedient, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will snatch away that ni'mat. They knew that. And we take it for granted that because we have observed the fast, then we can make ghibat, we can indulge in gossiping about everybody, we indulge in all kinds of sins and vices, we pass our times on the television and listening to other programs which may not be permissible for us to listen, and then we say that we have observed the fast. So therefore all the promises that Allah ta'ala has made on taqwa, we must get those promises fulfilled. So before we go into any detail, now let us just discuss this one word tonight, today, that is taqwa itself. The taqwa has got a very simple meaning and it has got an extended meaning. To restrain oneself, to protect oneself, to safeguard oneself. Now safeguard oneself from what? He stays away from everything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Everything that Allah Ta'ala has ordered, he fulfills. What Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, he restrains himself. Now that is taqwa. So it is not just one department, it's not only the department of namaz, that in salat we are muttaqi. Why? We are obeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That we stand when we are told to stand, we bow down when we are told to bow down, and we go in sajda when we are told to go in sajda. And we read the tasbihats that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to read. And we make the qira'at of the Quran Sharif. And we observe all other laws. Now in namaz we are muttaqi. But that is not sufficient. The taqwa was supposed to be in the bazaars. The taqwa was supposed to be at the airport. The taqwa was supposed to be in the aeroplane. The taqwa was supposed to be in every department of our lives. People will make hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah. They will cry at the multazam. They will shed so much of tears that an ocean can flow with those tears. And at the Roza Mubarak also they will read Naat Sharif. Tears will be flowing from their eyes. Alhamdulillah, that is all sign of muhabbat. But immediately after that, we have seen with our own eyes so many of them who kept the beard there for those few days, the beards disappeared before they even reached Jeddah airport. Before their departure from there, the beard already disappeared from their Mubarak faces. And on the aeroplane, who does not know? Who? All those who have traveled for Hajj and Umrah, what happens at the airports and in the aeroplanes? What do we see with our eyes? Those very people who were crying at the Multazam, shedding tears, thereafter see what the indulgence is. As far as namaz is concerned, of course that is maaf because we made Hajj. So for the majority of them, namaz is then maaf. So this is not taqwa. We are playing with this word taqwa. Taqwa is that we have this fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we are aware that Allah ta'ala is watching me. Allah ta'ala is with me. Allah is observing every action of mine. My life is in His control. My sight, my hearing, my speech, everything is in the control of that Allah. He is the one who has blessed me with my potentials and capacities and everything else that I possess. And He has the power to snatch it away too from me whenever He desires and wills. Now this person, after that in his business, he's got taqwa, that he trades in the way that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with. He does not borrow on interest and he does not give interest. Or he doesn't take interest. He doesn't pay interest, he doesn't take interest. Because he believes that my Allah ta'ala is watching, and if he is not happy with this transaction, then it will be destruction. The person is concerned and is conscious in every field and every department of his life. Whether it is in his walimas, in his marriages, in his dealing with his wife, with his children, with his family, with his neighbors, with his society, everywhere this taqwa will shine in this person's life if he has got real taqwa. Because it is a condition of the heart. And when the person has got taqwa in his heart, then the actions of the eyes will be correct, the actions of the hands will be correct, the actions of the feet will be correct. Everything will function properly. Why? Because there's taqwa in the heart. But if there's no taqwa in the heart, then outwardly we will be like human beings, but our actions will be worse than that of animals. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, how much of complaints we are getting of what our youth are doing and what indulgence in sins is taking place. So just that fasting from dawn to sunset is not sufficient. It is a very great ibadat. But the maqsad, the purpose, the objective of that was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to meet Hazrat Ka'b ibn Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was at one time a Yahudi priest, a rabbi, then he accepted Islam, but a great alim after that of both, and a very great sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So whenever Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to meet him, he used to say, "Oh Ka'b, tell me something that will put the khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala in my heart." Now that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who had so much of khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala, and again we must not misunderstand that this is not the fear of some lion or some huge cobra or some snake or some other animal, ferocious animal. Allah Ta'ala is not like that. That is not the fear that we are talking about. Here the fear is of displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because we love Allah Ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That great love that a believer should have for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it demands that we should not do anything that displeases that Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who is our benefactor. He is the one who has blessed us with every ni'mat. So this, it's a question of fulfilling the rights of the love of Allah Ta'ala, that we should not do anything that displeases Him. So he used to ask Hazrat Ka'b to make some nasihat. On one occasion he asked Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala, he said that, "What is taqwa?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was from the Quraysh, his language was Arabic, he was the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not a question of the khilafat of these days which are being distributed like toffees around. That any person, any sheikh that comes, he gives so much of khilafats that at present we have more khalifas than murids now. So that was not the question at that time. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is asking him, "What is taqwa? What is taqwa?" He says, "Oh Umar, did you at any time walk through a thorny bush where there are thorns on all sides, walking through a bush and you are afraid because there are thorns that will injure you or harm you. So he said, yes, I had many opportunities like that. So he said, at that time, how did you walk? He said, when I walked, I made sure that my clothes were all wrapped up tightly around me so that it doesn't get caught up in some thorn and that I don't get injured by any of those thorns. He said, Umar, that is taqwa, that you lead your life in this world in such a way that you are afraid and you are careful, you are cautious, that no thorns must cause any kind of injury, the thorns of sins, the thorns of evil, the thorns of displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It reminds me that once when I returned from overseas, one of my uncles was an artist. He had many frames, his artwork. One of them was the palm of a person's hand, and one thorn had caused him some injury on the thumb. So there was blood that is trickling down. So that's the picture that he had drawn of a palm and the blood flowing down the thumb. So he said, you choose any one of these frames that you like. So there were some other very beautiful frames, but I said, no, this is the one that I like. He said, why? I said, because it gives a very big lesson. This frame, it gives a big lesson. Ye na samjho ke gulshan mein khatra nahi, pardae gul mein kaante bhi rooposh hai. Ye na samjho ke gulshan mein khatra nahi, pardae gul mein kaante bhi rooposh hai. Apna daman bacha kar chale jaiye, apna daman bacha kar chale jaiye, warna kharon ka koi bharosa nahi. In this garden, I said, this is the lesson that this picture is giving, that this world is like a garden full of roses. There are many, many roses in this garden. Beautiful scenery, beautiful faces, beautiful this, beautiful that, many things. But don't think that there are no dangers in this garden. Just like that rose flower, it's a very beautiful flower, it's a very fragrant flower. But beneath that petal of that rose is thorn. There are thorns beneath those petals. So you must be careful that those thorns don't injure you and hurt you and cause you harm. So make use of the goodness. Make use of the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed. Make use of the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's creation is for man. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created the universe for the benefit of man. Whether it is the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean, the animals, the fish, everything that you look at, for whose benefit it has been created. So there's nothing wrong, make use of it. But there are also thorns. And those thorns are what Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited. Those things which are injurious and harmful to the person's spirituality, which are harmful and injurious to the family, those things which are going to cause harm and injury to the society or to the nation, those are the only things that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited. So in this world you make use of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but restrain yourself from those things. That is what we are talking about when we are saying taqwa all the time. Just reading the verses of taqwa is very simple and very easy. And as I said, any person can take the Quran Sharif, open to a tafsir and a commentary of the Quran Sharif, and start reading the verses of taqwa. And then after that address the congregation and say that yes, we must adopt taqwa. That's very simple and easy to do. But when it comes to application of the taqwa in our lives, then as they say, nani yaad aa jaati hai. Because there the nafs has to be suppressed. The nafs has to be suppressed. We will see benefit in many things, but Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased. Or we will see enjoyment, but Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased. So now who are we going to give preference to? So that is not an easy thing, but it is neither so difficult also that it cannot be applied. If we say that it is impossible to adopt taqwa in these times, then we will have to say that na'uzu billah, that ayat of the Quran Sharif, or all those verses of the Quran Sharif that ask the believers to adopt taqwa, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is unjust, that to something that is impossible He is asking us to implement in our lives. How can that ever be? That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very unjust. Why? Because He is asking us to adopt taqwa, and it is impossible to have taqwa in our lives. I mentioned on some previous occasion also, that taqwa is not standing for tahajjud and reading ishraq and chasht and awabin. All these are additional things. They are optional ibadat. They are for the showing of our love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, in your love we are prepared to make tawaf the whole night, or we are reading the Quran Sharif, we are making tilawat, we are making zikr, we are making ibadat, nafil, ishraq, chasht, awabin. All that is a sign of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love. But Allah ta'ala is not going to question us, why didn't you read tahajjud? Why didn't you read ishraq and chasht and awabin? Why didn't you make tilawat of one Quran Sharif whole day? Allah ta'ala is not going to question us. So that is not difficult, just to stay away from that which is haram and to bring into our lives those things which we have, Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do, the namaz, the roza, the zakat, the fulfillment of the rights of people, amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. Now what is difficult in that? And then again, when it comes to issues where there are differences of opinion amongst the ulama, then the taqwa of the time, the taqwa for the person in his time is that he carefully chooses the mufti. He doesn't choose the mufti that will give fatwa according to his opinion. Because that is one of our sickness and weakness, that we know there are half a dozen muftis, so we will purposely choose that one, or we'll ask first half a dozen. And then the one who says that which was in our heart and which suits our nafs, then we will say, you see, mufti sahab said this, and I'm making amal on that. So then that is not taqwa. But if the person in all sincerity, he wants to make amal to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but now he is confused that someone says that this is jaiz and permissible, and another mufti says it is not jaiz and not permissible. So then just as we choose a heart specialist, we choose an eye specialist, we choose the specialist, we don't just go to any annadi and say, go and start performing an operation. As it happens in Hajj time there, that everyone who has a jack razor becomes a barber. Anyone who can afford a jack razor, then he becomes a barber. And then some people, instead of the hair being cut, the head gets cut. So we choose. So there, what do we do? Even there, that is what we do. That first we stand and we watch how's everyone's heads going. And where we find lots of cuts on the head, then we say, stay far away from this barber. So that Mufti Sahab, who himself is indulging in a lot of sins, and it's quite open, we can see that Mufti Sahab doesn't have sunnats in his life. He doesn't have even the farais sometime in his life. Or he's taking photographs and is freely intermingling with the women, and there's videoing and everything is taking place. Now you're going to ask that Mufti Sahab for fatwa with regards to all these haram things. What fatwa is he going to give you? But when you hear of a Mufti that has got taqwa in him, he is also authentic, reliable, he has qualified from a reliable institution. So then our duty is ask him that what is the ruling on this, and then accept it and make amal. If you made amal, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised with the muttaqin. So this month of Ramadan, it is for the purpose of developing this taqwa, that we become conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence at all times, just as we are conscious in the month of Ramadan, that Allah Ta'ala is watching, Allah Ta'ala is aware, therefore we are staying away from food and drink, no matter how tempting. I will conclude on one example which has now become like a standard example. Every year, if it's not repeated, then that Ramadan is incomplete. So last year, I think I slipped up. So before I slip up, let me conclude on that. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. So just listen to it. That when it comes to the time of iftar, at the time of iftar, and the person has got his custard and faluda and samosas and bhajiyas and everything there in front of him, and he's tempted to eat also. Oh, it's a very hot day, and he's got lovely cool drink there, everything there. Now at that time, if the Imam of the Haram Sharif or all the muftis of the world get together and tell this person that now is just 1 minute left before iftar time, why don't you open your fast? All the muftis of the world, or the grand mufti of the world, or the Imam of Haram says there's just 1 minute to go before iftar, what's the difference now? You observe the fast for 18 hours, 1 minute, what difference will it make, or 2 minutes? So open your fast. So the person with the weakest iman, I'm not talking about strong iman, I'm talking about the person with the weakest iman like myself, I too will say that it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala that I must open fast after sunset. Isn't that true? The person with the weakest iman, who does not do anything else in his life except fast in the month of Ramadan, he too will say that it is the hukam and the order of Allah Ta'ala that I must open my fast only after sun sets. So strong his iman becomes for that 1 minute, that he's not prepared to violate the order of Allah Ta'ala. So is it not the order of Allah that you must not drink, that you must not commit adultery, that you must not commit fornication, that you must not steal, that you must not gamble, that you must not commit fraud, that you must perform namaz 5 times a day, that you must give zakat? All these are also orders of Allah Ta'ala. Then where is that iman that we expressed at that time of iftar, that it is the order of Allah Ta'ala that I must open my fast only after the sun sets? Why don't we say the same thing when we are tempted by nafs and shaitan, that it is the order of my Allah Ta'ala that I must not gamble, that I must not steal, that I must not commit fraud, that I must not indulge in illicit love relationships, that I must not cast evil glances? It is the order of my Allah Ta'ala. Now, if only we can take this lesson from this month of Ramadan, then inshallah all of us will become muttaqi. And when we become muttaqi, then we become the friends of Allah Ta'ala. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Then we get the best of both worlds. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal and remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah.